Well, I think you get an A-plus on that one. You did good. It's good to see all of you here this morning. You know, we've been going through this series, Foundations, and I hope for one thing that we understand and that we've gotten from this so far, that the one true foundation is Jesus Christ. In fact, let's look at the key verse that we've been looking at, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. If you would say this with me, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." If we think about that, we've been talking about how Jesus Christ is that true foundation, but yet we've been talking about some other themes as well. I thought about a foundation. I mean, we know that a lot of buildings, well, every building has some sort of foundation, but I was thinking more of the concrete foundations. We have that foundation that the building sits on, but yet in that foundation, there's other things, right? I mean, I'm not a real big construction guy, but I do know that in concrete work, you have cement and you have gravel. In foundations, you have rebar to make it stronger, to make it hold together. And I know that when you start to use analogies, you can get yourself in trouble because they'll break down at some point. I'm not trying to say that Jesus needs anything else for him to be our foundation. But yet at the same time, as we think of the foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ, there are things that strengthen our faith. There are things that draw us close to God. There are ways that God comes to us. And it's some of these things that we've been talking about. The Word. Last week, the gathering, how we gather here to encourage and support each other. Today, as we look at water, a baptism. I know there's a phrase that we used to use probably more often than we do today in the Lutheran church. It's called the means of grace. How many of you have ever heard that phrase, the means of grace? Okay, just a few. Maybe we need to do a better job then. What that really means is God's work and the saving work that he's done for us through Jesus on the cross comes to us through means. And for Lutherans, we would say it's the Word and the sacraments. God comes to us through his Word. He comes to us through the sacraments, which is baptism and the Lord's Supper. He is literally in a real present way coming to us to give us forgiveness in life. And so that's what we have in the water of baptism. And we know from, if you've gone through confirmation, it's not just water alone. It's not just plain water. It's water combined with God's Word that makes it powerful. That's where the forgiveness comes from. That's where God's work is being done, through that water and the Word. And so we have the power of baptism. It's really exciting because we're going to have a baptism, a private baptism after church. Paxton Hale is just ecstatic. And that is so neat to see that he's so excited about being baptized. Next Sunday, we'll have a baptism of Claire. And so we witness what God is doing in baptism. And the thing is, it's not exciting because, you know, the person is making some really declaration of their faith. It's not exciting for me because I can say, oh, look how many baptisms I've done. It's exciting because God is doing work. God is coming through that water and through that Word to perform his work. He's declaring in that person, you're mine. You're my child. Your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life. We have an interesting story in the New Testament in Acts chapter 8. A lot of times we just simply refer to it as Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Have you heard that story before? I want to walk through that for just a minute, and we're going to get to really one of the main points that I want to get to, and you're probably thinking, well, why don't we just get to that first, right? But we're going to go through the whole story in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, if you want to follow along. But 26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Now I find this very interesting because this angel of the Lord just simply tells Philip to go on that road. How many of you would say, "I'm in"? Just go. I'm going to tell you, I just want you to start walking down Highway 22. Are you in or not? First, you're going to want to know what for, right? You know, I thought about this because I know I've used it before. I've said it before, and it's been said to me before. Someone will approach you, maybe it's your kids or someone else, and they'll say, "Hey, will you do something for me?" Have you had that done before? You know, my first reaction is, sure. But then my second reaction is, wait just a minute. What if I don't want to do it? You know, so we get that picture here that, I mean, this angel of the Lord just tells Philip to go on this desert road. And by the way, a desert really wasn't a pleasant place to be walking. But he says, just go. And believe it or not, I guess maybe an angel experience might cause you to just go. But that's what Philip does. It says, so he started out on his way. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now, Philip finds out pretty quick why he went, because there's this Ethiopian eunuch who the Lord leads him to. Now, what's interesting about this is here we have... And I tried to get an idea of how far this was from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, 1,400 to 1,600 miles, somewhere in that neighborhood. And so we have this foreigner who is where? In Jerusalem? Doing what? Worshiping. Guess what? The Great Commission is already happening. Because we have a foreigner who is 1,600 miles away from home coming to Jerusalem to worship. And now he's on his way back home when Philip has this encounter with him. In verse 28, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. So Philip is led by this angel to go near the chariot and just kind of sit there and observe and wait. And he hears him reading from the prophet Isaiah. And he asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And in verse 31, "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So here we have this Ethiopian reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he asks this question, who is he talking about, himself or someone else? This gave Philip the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with this Ethiopian. This is kind of off on a little bit of a different theme, and I don't want to get into this, but think about that for just a moment. Philip took the time to spend with this Ethiopian, just listening, just waiting. And the Ethiopian asked the question, and Philip is given an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with him. I think sometimes myself, I want things to happen quick, and I don't want to have to spend a whole bunch of time with everyone just to figure out what's going on. You know, just get a fix done, tell them the good news, and be on my way, right? But Philip here obviously took some time to spend with this Ethiopian and was given the opportunity to share Jesus with him. As they traveled along the road, we're finally getting to the point, okay? As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Just a little side note here, maybe a trivia question somewhere down the road. If any of you have your Bibles open, can you find verse 37 in your Bible? Does anybody have 37? Guess what? 37 is not there in most Bibles, okay? It's actually there in the King James, but what has happened, there's a verse that's been, that they feel like when they were translating, and some of these actually later versions, NIV, ESV does not have it. 37 in the King James Version reads something like this: "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So what has happened in the King James Version and some of the older versions of the Bible, they did not have available to them some of the oldest manuscripts that we have today. And so this verse, verse 37, is not in the oldest manuscripts of the text that we have uncovered now. And so I think it really, to me, that what they're doing here is they're trying to make clarity. And I think for us, leaving it out makes a lot of sense, because who's doing the work? God is. And I want you to look at this question here. What question does he ask? Why shouldn't I be baptized? And the intended answer to that question is, you should. What question do we a lot of times ask? Not why shouldn't I, but why should I? You see the difference? You see, this Ethiopian, he realizes the Word of God speaking to him. He realizes what Philip is telling him about what Jesus did for him and what he wants to do to him. And obviously they had a discussion about baptism, and he says, "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Now, some versions, I think the ESV may say something like, "Why? What should hinder me from? What should keep me from?" And the intended answer to that is nothing. Nothing should. Because God wants all people to be baptized. And through the waters of baptism, God comes to us. He's working through the water and the Word. It's not dependent on the person that's coming to the water. It's not dependent on even me. The work is done by God Himself. You know, I thought about, and I think one of these stories may have come up in the Sunday school lessons in our for our children the last couple of weeks. Lydia, did that come up? Lydia and then the jailer when Paul and Silas were imprisoned and were set free. Do you know what happened when Lydia believed? Do you know what happened when the jailer believed? Their entire household was baptized. And to me, that's what this Ethiopian eunuch is saying. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Lydia and that jailer said, "Why shouldn't we be baptized? Let's all be baptized. We want to be baptized because we know who Jesus is and what He's done for us." Baptism, the water. is very powerful. God marks us as His very own children, and He calls us sons and daughters. We want to be baptized. And for us, this kind of came out in our Bible class this morning. There's one baptism. If someone's been baptized, they're baptized. Because I've always said, when you were baptized, God was doing the work, and guess what? He wasn't playing around. He was serious when He marked you as His child. I pray that we hold on to the truth of God's Word and know that through baptism, God comes to us and gives us the gift of life and salvation and forgiveness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity that we can be here in Your house. And Lord, we know that You come to us in different ways. You come to us through Your Word. You come to us through the water of baptism. You come to us in the Lord's Supper. Lord, we ask that as we live our lives in this world, that gives us comfort knowing that You are involved in our lives, that You literally come to us because You want to be a part of who we are. Lord, I ask that You would continue to bless us and fill us with Your Spirit so that we are equipped to serve You in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.